This turns out to be a pretty heavily nuanced, pretty detailed, and almost a sales pitch document, doesn't it? It really goes into a lot of detail about why the administration thinks these are good ideas.
Yeah, it sure does. One of the drumbeats of Republican criticism for the past year is that the president hasn't put out a detailed plan for tackling the long-term deficit. This, by any measure, meets that test. It's pretty thorough stuff. And it is definitely, at a minimum, it's the menu that the super committee will be choosing from. And there are many things on there that have a lot of support. There's many things on there that have almost no support at all in Congress, and that's where the sorting begins. And I would say up front that some of the cuts, changes that would raise money and lower the deficit at the expense of federal worker benefits are perceived as some of the low-hanging fruit here.
It's interesting because the detail to which the White House went on that federal employee stuff surprised me, because it's not something that I would think that, as you said, would be something that would really... The savings don't seem to be tremendous. $21 billion over 10 years, $2.1 billion on average a year, in the scope of what the deficit committee's working on, really isn't tremendously significant, is it?
Well, it's not, but I mean, anytime you can get up to the word B and and your grand total begins with a B instead of an M, that starts to be something that the budget cutters are paying attention to. Many of these changes, especially the one that I know a little bit about, is the TRICARE change. That's been being discussed all year. The so-called Biden summit, this was this group of lawmakers that worked with Vice President Biden that claimed that they got close to $1 trillion in cuts this summer before things fell apart. That was definitely a part of what they were talking about. Many of the things in the president's plan were cooked up in that Biden summit and therefore can claim to have some Republican support. There was a Republican effort to resist changes in TRICARE this spring when the defense authorizers met to mark up the annual defense authorization bill, and suddenly that opposition more or less disappeared. And so I would just say that's an example of something that there has been political resistance to for a long time, but that both sides are deciding that in the framework that we're now operating in, it's time to let the change happen.
Every time one of these things happens, some pundit comes out of the woodwork somewhere and says, as far as Congress is concerned, this time it's different, and it never is. And we saw that happen with the debt limit thing, where people said, well, this time everybody gets it and it's going to be different. And it was exactly the same as what we've seen in the continuing resolution arguments back in February, March, April, and so on and so forth. Do you get any sense that this is different, the super committee structure is different, or are we going to be looking at food fights again, do you think, when we get to late October, early November, when the super committee is supposed to start to have at least give some smoke signals about what they're going to put out?
I think the only degree to which this time it's different is that this time the partisan, if the partisan standoff could get any more intense, this time it's different and that it's more intense than ever. Now, that having been said, there are some things in the president's budget, in the president's proposal that, like we were just talking about, that do suggest that there are areas of common ground they could come to. They're supposed to come to agreement in order to avoid this across-the-board cut called sequestration after the election. They're supposed to come up with $1.2 trillion at a minimum. They're almost there if both sides agree to one of the biggest items the president proposed today, which is claiming $1.1 trillion in savings from winding down the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Republicans used to deride that, or like to deride that, as an accounting gimmick, but it's also true, as the president said himself in the Rose Garden this afternoon, that that was assumed by the Republicans on budget. So there is some reason to believe that they are close if both sides agreed that they want to get to yes. But there's plenty of reason to believe that both sides don't want to get to yes.
Well, or maybe that both sides don't want to get to yes on the other side's terms, and by that I mean any of the other side's terms.
That is exactly right. There are plenty of Republicans. In the dynamic in the last week has been that the Republican leadership, Speaker Boehner, Eric Cantor, have tried to send signals that they want to try and get to yes, and they have been met with plenty of opposition from within their own ranks, from rank-and-file Republicans in the House especially, who say, why should we give in at all? The president's on the ropes. He's looking ripe for defeat next year. Why should we give him any victory at all? And, of course, the countervailing answer from the Republican leadership is because Congress's approval ratings are remarkably one quarter of what the president's are.
Yeah. You look at the president's approval ratings and you think that's awful, and then you go, well, what about Congress? You look at those numbers.
Right. I mean, it really is 43. You know, the average of the recent polling is about 43-44% approval for the president. The average approval rating for Congress in these polls is closer to 12-14%.
Can you see an event or an achievement or anything on the horizon that would trigger members on either side to say, whoa, maybe we should revisit this? There are some folks that thought that maybe that's what would happen as a result of the special elections that took place in New York and in Nevada a week or so ago. That didn't really seem to make any difference or have any impact in the conversations that have taken place since then. Do you see anything that might, or are we just in for a couple of weeks of this kind of back and forth?
Oh, I think we're definitely in for a few weeks of this back and forth. I mean, the deadline for the super committee is the day before Thanksgiving. That's still 8 weeks away. 8 weeks has proved in the past to be sort of a lifetime in these negotiations. So I think probably for the next 4 or 5, maybe even 6 weeks, it'll be mostly posturing. And then it'll only be in those last couple of weeks before the super committee's deadline where Boehner for the Republicans and the president for the Democrats will probably, my expectation is that they or their seconds will come together and make one big push, and it may yet come to naught.